Hello and welcome to our County Commission meeting today. As usual, we will begin really looking to those here with us for a volunteer, someone to offer a prayer reading or a thought, and someone to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Do we have any volunteers out there? Okay, Commissioner Ivey will do the prayer.
I'll do the pledge.
And Commissioner Lee will lead us in the pledge.
Our beloved Heavenly Father, we come before Thee at the beginning of this meeting, indeed grateful for the opportunity to gather as a free society and to discuss the affairs of the county. And at this time, we would ask Thy blessing to be upon our county and our nation as the worries and concerns about the coronavirus swell, that the hearts and minds of people might be comforted, and that those of us who have been entrusted in positions of leadership can act with a calm, steady hand to ensure that the public health is protected to our best capacity. We also ask, Father, as we work through this meeting agenda, you will guide our decision-making to help us ensure that the rights and privileges of the citizens of this county are protected, and that we might be continually vigilant and mindful of them. As always, we express our gratitude for the opportunity to serve and the opportunity to gather as a free people in this blessed land, and do so in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
If you could, would you stand for One Nation Under God?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, over to Commissioner Ivey for the Employee of the Month.
All right. At this time, we will congratulate Stephen Vincent, who is our Employee of the Month for March. Stephen, come on up. have a little bit to just wait right there, and we got a little something that's been submitted. I'll read for you. Stephen Vincent deserves to be recognized for so many reasons. He is accommodating, thorough, polite, professional to everyone he works with. He also works hard, but much of it goes unnoticed since he mostly works behind the scenes. It is easy to overlook how much physical labor and foresight goes into setting up a room, and it's something easily taken for granted. He makes sure everything is in place well in advance so those using the room can get started without having to focus on logistics, even if it means coming in early or staying late to set up. If problems arise, he works to do what he can to still accommodate those involved. But oftentimes, he anticipates problems before they arise because he pays attention to upcoming events and seeks out more information and clarification. He has also frequently met with changes at last-minute requests, but he flexes with the situation as much as is possible, even though it often means he has to go out of his way to do so. Stephen is pleasant to work with, even when presented with unpleasant situations. One of his responsibilities involves the cleanup of all types of spills. When informing him of the need for a cleanup, his response is always assurance that he'll take care of it without expression of complaint or distaste. He is also quick to respond. He is one of the main points of contact with the custodial company that services most of the county buildings and is a great liaison with them. He has a lot of space to oversee, but he follows through to make sure what needs to be done gets done, even if it involves small details. He is one of the main reasons the county is a clean place to be and work. He does a great job all around. He is deserving of recognition for his hard work at the county and is an ideal candidate for Employee of the Month. Congratulations.
Good.
Okay, now we will go through the process of building our agenda. Anything that we do not hold for discussion will be approved on our consent agenda, or on both our regular and consent items. I actually have a request to strike number 6 on consent. I go to 14. Mm-hmm. On 14, I just make a note that if it's going forward, it's approve and not deny.
I would be good with that.
And I believe there was there a request for to strike number 13? I thought I saw that from.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at the wrong one. Okay, thank you.
I just have a quick question on number 27, so we can hold number 27 on consent. Hold 31 on consent. Anything else on consent?
No, there's no
discussion. Okay. So, well, let's look into the regular. Anything else? What do we need to hold here? I think I would hold 2 for discussion.
Can we hold number 1 as well?
Hold 1. I'll hold 3. That's all. Okay, that's it. So on the consent agenda, is there any here? I'll just give an opportunity. We're about to, those will be approved without any discussion. Is there any public comment on any of the items that will automatically be approved? Okay, seeing none, we'll turn to those items that we've held. First, number 27. My only question of this is not really about the details. I just am curious whether we feel like this event is still going to be held.
Yes, as far as I know, I don't know that there's any rumblings that they're not going to. So
I just know we've had a series of large gatherings that have been canceled. This is the largest one, I think, that we are aware of in our community. That
I can have somebody follow up with him for sure, and we'll call you tomorrow.
I mean, and as we think through that, is there anything particular that might need to be modified in this? I mean, they're just going to pay us to the extent we're going to be providing the services.
Correct. If they call it, then we are done, and we only charge them for the amount of time we're there. So.
Okay. Okay. I don't really have any additional questions.
Nope. I'll make a motion that we approve item number 27 on our published consent agenda.
Second.
We have a motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 3-0. Okay. Item number 31. Appreciate representatives of UVU being here for this. If you want to make comments, you can kind of come up here. I'll kind of kick this off and say that the county really appreciates and values the contributions that UVU makes to our community as one of the major trainers and educators of our workforce. And there's a very interesting history between the UCCU Center and the county, given that the county helped fund it originally through, which was really what I think was the first purpose of some of our TRCC or tourism-related taxes that were enacted. I'll note that this grant that we're making to help contribute to the bleachers is not coming out of our general fund, but is coming out of the TRCC dollars. And the other thing that I just want to note is I'm comfortable voting to move this forward. There's been a long-standing partnership where the county commission sits on a board that oversees the UCCU Center. And when this bleacher replacement was first introduced, it really was introduced as a, hey, this is a joint venture type of a deal, and you bring your portion to the table and we bring our portion to the table. And I feel like as a commission, we collectively kind of pushed back on that idea and, you know, said, look, we're happy to be supportive. And perhaps in this last instance, I can't speak for the others. I'm certainly happy to do this. But I think it is being done with an acknowledgement that we are no longer a capital contributing partner to this board, which changes the dynamics a little bit, because now when we sit there in the committee, we care about the good events that you're bringing in. But as a non-contributing member to this partnership, we appreciate that the university has stepped up. And so any operational losses that haven't been occurring, but if those were to occur in an environment like this, the university is bearing all of that expense. And so I'm happy to put this on and get this approved and move it on. But I would just make the note that I think we want to continue those board meetings, but as a non-capital contributing member, perhaps we can expand that agenda to a broader list of issues that UVU administration and the county can collaborate on, and not just the UCCU Center.
So my name is Jacob Ack, and I'm the Associate Vice President for Utah Valley University. And first, let me say how much we appreciate the partnership that we've had with Utah County for the last 25 years, both on the UCCU Center and its original construction, as well as the many other projects that we've worked together on through the years. It's been a long and fruitful arrangement, and certainly has been a tremendous benefit to our community, not just to the university, but to Utah County at large. To address your concerns regarding your capital obligations, we understand and agree that Utah County has no obligations for any operating losses at the Event Center, nor are you obligated to contribute for any capital improvements or changes that need to be made to the facility, which makes your proposal to provide us with this funding a particular treat for us, and we are very grateful that you would consider our particular project. And in the future, we would be more than happy to move away from focusing explicitly on the UCCU Center and its operations and management, and use that opportunity to coordinate regarding all of the activities where there might be overlap between Utah County and Utah Valley University.
Well, we appreciate it, and thanks for coming and working through this. I know it's been a long process, but
that's okay.
So with the agreement that we have, the revised one, I'm looking at the revised one. There's just one line in here, and it is under. Says independent contractor number 5B. It does state that. It says it is understood that the county and university are co-owners of the UCCU Center. I would just suggest that we cross that out. That's not a part of it. And then second, as I was going down through this, it looks like it was built on this 32%, 68% model for the numbers.
The original proposal was built on that ratio.
Yeah, and so with that, with five million, you know, 5 million anticipated. I get what the anticipated is. With a $5 million anticipated, that 1.8 is actually high. In that, if we're looking at that model on there, so I'm just kind of throwing that out there. It should be about 1.6, I believe, instead of 1.8.
So I would propose for your consideration that we stay with the potential 1.8 to be reimbursed after expenses are incurred. To the extent that the project, 32% of the project exceeds 1.8, that would be your total contribution. If 32% of the total project is less than 1.8 million, we would only bill you for a total of 32% of the replacement project.
Fine with me.
Okay. And I'm glad we're doing this in a public setting. It's ironic. I agree. I appreciate Commissioner Lee catching both of those points, and I agree with them. And yet at the same time, I just want to reiterate what you've already acknowledged, that we might do that here since that was originally the proposal.
Yes.
But in the future, I mean, well, we won't be having additional capital discussions in the future. But I guess that having it tied to the ownership is kind of a flawed. I guess that's one of the things that we're kind of trying to get away from here. But in this instance, we'll tie it to making sure
since
the university.
That's how the model was started, I thought.
Yeah.
And we understand that this doesn't imply in any way
yeah.
that you have a 32% capital obligation for any future changes to the event center.
Okay. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
So I suppose if you could make that motion with those
All right.
proposed changes.
I'll make a make a motion that we approve and authorize the commission chair to sign the agreement. The revised agreement as stated in number 3 on our 31 on our published consent agenda with the striking out of the line under 5B, which reads that it is understood that the county and university are co-owners of the UCCU Center, and also with an understanding that the $1.8 million being contributed to this, if it exceeds that, it is still 1.8. If it comes in lower than that on the total project, our 32% will match that 32% of the value.
That is correct.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. That passes 3-0. Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving to our regular agenda, item number 1, Mr. Lee.
So, thanks for coming and visiting with me. It was good to kind of go down through and especially to see where the monuments are for my home. Brought those in so I could see exactly where they're at and have a discussion. Couple of questions. This is not a budgeted item, so where are we going to get the money?
That's a good question. Okay. Good, great question. I currently don't have that in my 2020 budget. I'm hoping somewhere that we can find that money, but I don't have the answer to that question specifically.
Okay. And second, as you walk down through with me when you're talking about corner monuments and then residential or what do you call them, subdivision, you know, markers as well, I appreciated that dialogue. And you brought up some concerns that I'll echo that I think you feel as well as I do with there seems to be a push to a certain extent for cities to go away from securing those inner monuments and just relying on our corner monuments. Which can be problematic. And then the other one that bothers me is that there seems to be destruction of monuments that are going on, and I think there was over 60 or so last year in which that happened, besides the ones in which we have to go out and then secure first, and then they go ahead and destroy it, and then we come back again after they put it in.
Those 60 are the main ones that, by statute, I'm responsible for. Those 60 you're referring to, those are the main ones. Those are just 60 that we're aware of.
Because the cities are responsible for the inner ones.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, the cities and the city projects are responsible for letting their developers and contractors know for city projects about the ones I'm responsible for. So there's a disconnect there.
Yeah. And so in looking at this and talking with you with a field director and then two, so you'd have three teams all together of two each, mm-hmm. and trying to do that. I guess the point that I'd like to make is I can support this and move forward to a certain degree if we were to go back and change our fee schedules and work on our fee schedules, which I think you agree with, and change those fee schedules to be reflective of actual work that we're doing and find ways in which we can not just, you know, go out and report or go out and take a measurement one way and then the other way and then not get paid in between, but find ways through our fee scheduling process to offset some of the costs that we're going to have to find the money for.
Yeah, absolutely. We're in the process currently working with the attorney's office to revamp our county ordinance to reflect the changes in state code. And part of that ordinance is going to reflect some modifications to the actual fee schedule. So we will be working on that for sure. Yeah, so we definitely want to hold people accountable because it doesn't do any good to have a whole bunch of laws and ordinances and those kinds of things if we can't enforce them.
Right. So I see if a monument gets destroyed, and let's just say it costs $500, for a developer who's looking at developing a land and seeing a $500 tag to a destruction of a monument, and there, or 2 weeks by the time they get things accomplished, destroying of a monument is $500. And so I think that as we look at the fee schedules, it's got to be reflective all the way through, and so that we can recapture some of those monies that we've lost. And I've been reassured from you that if we do that and go this route, that it will free up more time to actually go after that, because right now we're lacking in that area.
Yeah, it definitely will. And there's also the other side of the coin where it will, if these positions were to be granted, it'll allow us more flexibility to educate, more time to educate, more time to find out who the guilty parties were that are destroying the monuments, and get those monies, many of them, recouped. But in addition to that is the education side of this. I would much rather, through education, just curb all the monument destruction altogether and not have to worry about anything, just simply through education. But I know that's not going to happen, but it'll help curb much of it. So these proposed positions will help me to have the time and the resources to educate and to go after some of those monies that you brought up.
Okay. Thank you. Those are the questions I had.
Gary, I appreciate you, as we've had conversations, working on the ordinance changes and taking on that fee schedule. Obviously, that's something that needs addressed, and I'm appreciative of your efforts there. I'm supportive of this change. That was why, when we went through the budgeting process, I wanted to make sure in our restricted accounts we had money set aside, anticipating that this would, in due course of time, come to us, especially as you worked through those processes of adjusting your fee schedule. So we did set that money aside, and it's built in there. It will require a transfer, but the money was put aside with the anticipation that you would address the issues related to the fees.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree with both of those comments. I think it's always good to look at the fees and find ways. And it was both the fees and because of your office is, you're up for re-election this year, and there was some uncertainty in that. I remember that was one of the public comments during the budgeting process of, okay, let's, instead of approving it in the budget, let's put it in a restricted account. And there's only a couple items like that in restricted so that we can have this conversation at the start of the year. And so I'm comfortable that there is enough set aside there to make that transfer. So appreciate all your explanation.
Okay, thank you.
Can I make a motion? I'll
sure.
Make a motion that we authorize the change as stated in the regular agenda item number one to the surveyors department. And if I could add into this motion that we'd also at this time direct the attorney's office within a month's period of time to come back with a proposed fee schedule that is workable for the county and for the surveyor's office.
Second.
We have a motion and a second for item number 30, or for regular agenda item number one. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 3-0.
Ralph Clegg with Health Department. Commissioners, what questions do you have?
So I'm trying to pull this up. I just have a question similar is, where is this? My understanding is that the change that we're talking about here has not been approved. It's not in any line item, wasn't approved in the budget process.
It was put into restricted in the budget, and we've moved it out of restricted now, so it is in the budget. This is a kind of a career service or a career ladder advancement, and so the employee, after a certain amount of time taking on additional responsibilities, now has the time and is doing the same services that the other clerical staff are in that same position. And so now it's under the Clear Ladder program to put them at the same level as those who are also in that division and working at the same salary, the same salary scale.
Ralph, I think you probably, just to clarify, when we're talking about restricted, that it was coming out of the restricted account.
In the health department, not in the general fund.
Why it's not as readily seen.
And so there was forms submitted, for that process as part of the budget. It was put in restricted. Right. All of the career ladder advancements were put in restricted. And so we know those are coming up, and so we've moved that out of restricted so that the money is available for them.
Okay. I would entertain a motion.
I'll move that we authorize the regular agenda item number 2.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve item number 2. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. It passes 3-0. 3, I just have a question, for Ralph and the sheriff, I suppose. But if you want to make a comment, my question was simply, I wanted to make sure that, because essentially what's happening here is your office, I know you've put a lot of work into this, to making sure that your department has a set of policies that make sense for your department. Is that fair?
Yep.
Obviously, everyone in the sheriff's department is also a county employee.
Yep.
And has to abide by countywide HR policy. So I think the HR department has had a chance to go make sure that these two things don't conflict. Is that fair?
Yes. So I've looked through it. I've also had the assistant HR has also looked through it. Mark Brady, and we've also had the attorney's office look through it, and we were able to take out some of the conflicts. And it appears right now that it's clean of any conflicts between the county policies and the sheriff's policies. So, and if there ever was a conflict, the HR policies would rule in that case.
So I would suggest, because I had quite a conversation with Ralph about it as well, and just kind of making sure. And in the sheriff's department, there are things that they do that are not county. That's the reason why it's important to have a separate policy in place. The only thing I'm supportive of this after going down through it and reading it and everything with Ralph. The only thing that I would probably include is at the very beginning of this policy that we state that the county's HR policies are the precedent policy. If there is any changes or if there is any conflict between them, that the HR policies from the county take precedent.
Is there any sort of broad disclaimer in there right now to that effect?
I actually think there may already be something like that in there. I think it's already in there, but we can make sure.
And we're already clear that that's the understanding anyway, right? If you're a deputy, this is the policy that helps you do your day-to-day.
Yeah, so the bulk of that is, it's the Lexapol policy that the commission has already granted the funds to get. So it's best standard practices for law enforcement functions that a team of attorneys have gathered from across the nation that do this for a lot of agencies. So that is what the bulk of that manual is, but it does have some HR in there, and that's where we've been careful to make sure it's not in conflict. So I don't have any issue if we need to put something in there to make sure that we fall back.
I think in reading down through it, it's kind of implied, but I think a very deliberate one would be helpful just to have it in there.
Okay. Any other comments, Sheriff?
No.
Okay, thank you.
No, we're just, thank you, and we're just excited to get this going. It's been a long process. Our team has put a ton of work into it. And we're pushing over a year, I think, at this point, to get through this entire process. So we'll be very happy to get some policies in place that we're comfortable with. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll make a motion that we approve and authorize commission approval of the resolution as stated number 3 on our published regular agenda with a statement at the beginning that the county's HR policies are whatever legal term you want to put in there, Dave, precedent.
Yeah, we'll have that. We'll just put some language in there.
Okay.
It'll control the conflict.
Right.
Okay.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve regular agenda item number 3 as stated. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 3-0. Okay. Moving to the closed session, closed meetings, I actually would like to do all 4.
Okay. I will move that we approve and set a date, time, and location for regular agenda items numbers 5, 6, 7, and 8 for today's date following the completion of regular business in this room.
Second. We have a motion and a second to approve items 5, 6, 7, and 8. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. That passes 3-0. Thank you. We'll now move into our closed meeting.
Public comment.
Oh, is there any additional public comment? Please.
Because I didn't know you were going to set all 4 of those. Steve White, 5490 North Canyon Road, Provo. I've sat in all 3 of those chairs at one time or another. The budget process is a very difficult thing. And Commissioner Ainge, you're correct. It's Billy's fault and Nathan Ivey's fault for that huge tax increase that was approved. They had time to work on it, but chose not to. I did a little research at the auditor.utah.gov and pulled up the annual financial statements. I have copies in a folder here. But the delta, the increase in property and sales tax, which is the general fund, in 2015 was $143,124 more, 4.18% than the year prior. In 2016, and of course you had nothing to do with that because you were elected in 14, and it's just that. It's the next year's budget that's next. The next year, there was a growth of $2,635,663, which was a 4.93% growth. The following year, in 2017, there was a 6.4% growth, totaling $3,006,000. In 2018, another $3.4 million, a 5.7%, and in 2019, a 6.8% growth of $4.3 million. So when I sat down and I said, what would justify that kind of an increase, there were a couple of things, because that's a $16,131,250 cumulative year over year by the time you get to last year. And each year when you have that increase, you get that increase that from the prior year added to the increase from the new year. And to have the growth this year based on property tax increase and a modest sales tax increase, which may or may not take place with coronavirus, of $1.4 million, it would put us at $20 million growth in 1 year. In my first term as a commissioner, we had to replace every vehicle in the sheriff's department. They were all over 120,000. You weren't here yet, Sheriff, but they were all over 120,000 miles. They couldn't do a 3-point turn safely in any of them. So we replaced a third of the fleet in 3, a third of the fleet in 4, a third of the fleet in 5, and then just kept on replacing it afterwards every year, a third of the fleet. So, I mean, those are the kinds of things you don't do in one bite. And all I'm suggesting is that it's possible that while needing to take care of the problem, a bigger bite was taken than what was reasonable. And I saw on the consent agenda, there's an agreement between Utah County and Wheeler to purchase a piece of equipment. If that were a private business, say Evans Excavation, which was here at the Board of Adjustment the other night, they'd be paying personal property tax with that same increase as the property tax on the real property. And so my question is there not any way to back off just a little bit for the forgotten generation, which is the Korean War veteran generation? The boomers, well, we did okay. But the penurious amounts of Social Security benefits going to that generation is very different than the boomers and others later. So I'm concerned that the property tax increase is such that it, if it had been taken in a rational, let's do this step by step. I know you walked into a difficult situation. I'm not arguing that. I did too. And the question is was there a better way to do it? And I think perhaps there might have been. But if you could just sit down and delay everything that would cost tons of money year over year, we'd be fine. I mean, there's enough growth going on in the county, both in real property and in business personal property. And those businesses pay 100% instead of the 55% that we pay.
Let me just ask you, Mr. White. So I'd love to get this. We're on record in a public meeting. So are you supportive? Were you supportive of the referendum?
Oh, yes, I was.
Okay.
Were you
aware of the consequences of that referendum?
Yes. And when I ran for office, I said not one red cent. That was my motto. That's something that the Gen X's and millennials don't use. They don't even know what a red penny is. But I am concerned that there was a $20 million bump in a year. I mean, that's just an unbelievable amount.
So let me ask you some questions.
Then. Rather than going back 3 years ago and saying, no, we're going to wait until it comes. It's the cat's out of the bag now. I'm going to concede that to you.
So are you aware that we began our budgeting process this year looking at a $10 million deficit just to cover our existing operations, just to roll the existing employee base from 2019 with no new buildings, no new anything, just rolling them forward into 2020, there was a $10 million hole to fill?
Yes, yes. And I don't disagree, but I was saying, well, gee, if we did a 25%, that would have covered it. Or if we'd have done this or if we'd have done that and factor in the growth that's coming in, I guess we could ask the personnel director what the cost of the STEP program for the county is on an annual basis.
So, but a $10 million hole, okay, that's more than a 25% increase right there. So this is where I would be thrilled to have rational discussion throughout this process. But, or maybe your suggestion was that we should let go a significant portion of the county workforce.
That's a possibility. Okay. All things are possible. The question is, do you add 13 positions to a department?
Yeah, but I'm not talking about that. First, I'm saying the $10 million hole was not about adding any new positions.
I'm just saying,
right?
Perhaps you just say no for a while. And then you work.
But no, I'm not going to let that happen because there's a lot of misinformation that's been spread here. Again, there was a $10 million hole with saying no to every new request, to every single new request. So there still was a $10 million hole.
And as I said, that's not at your feet, but that it is there on the commission. Because had they said no sooner, that wouldn't have been a problem.
I really wish you'd have came not this year, but last year when I had a proposal to just simply freeze our rate and take a systematic step. Been nice to have had your testimony then.
So it's just a difficult situation, that's all.
That it was.
And I didn't come in yelling at anybody.
Yeah.
I'm not showing disrespect to anybody.
Right.
I'm just saying a consideration could have been made looking at what do we do? And the problem goes back to when we lost the ICE contract. That created a $4 million hole immediately. You're shaking your head no, Commissioner Ivey, but that was a reimbursed by ICE amount for Pod 3. And the deal with Sheriff Tracy was we would only have Pod 3 open if we had ICE prisoners there. And so that created an immediate hole. And the question is, how do you stop that hole?
So were you involved in the cancellation of that agreement?
No. I left office 9 years ago. I'm not I'm not coming as an expert witness here.
Yeah.
I'm just asking, was there not something that could have been done sooner and could have been done kinder?
Yeah. No, I appreciate your comments. I just want to make sure, and I'm always willing, if people acknowledge the actual facts of our budget problems, which you have done here, I think that's helpful. The challenge is, you know, for example, if that referendum had passed, we would have been depleted of even more reserves than we've already done in three of the last 4 years. We would not have a balanced budget, or we'd be forced to fire a significant portion of essential county personnel, right? And so those are, to me, that does not suggest a rational solution. Now, when you're saying, could we have taken a little bit smaller bite? Let's have that conversation. I think there is some, yeah.
So one of the questions I would ask Civil Division Chief for the Attorney's Office is here. Have we refunded any bonds in the last 2 years while interest rates have been this low?
Absolutely, we have.
And what were the annual savings there?
There were significant annual savings, but it was not, it's not, you don't realize those in an operating budget from year to year, but there were significant net present value savings.
I just say the third pod in the shoe at the jail expires in 2023, that bond. And there are other bonds. They weren't GO bonds. And so there's no automatic tick coming into the budget. So, you know, you might put a GO bond on for some things on the ballot and see if you could rectify it that way. But anyhow.
Okay. Thank you for your comments.
Thank you. You know, Steve, just for the record, that $10 million, there was $2 million found in the Internal Service Fund. After we had looked at that $10 million on there. So there, we went back and looked and found $2 million that was being allocated improperly. So in essence, there was $8 million, just so for reference. Yep.
Any additional public comment?
Bert Garfield, I'm in the County Assessor's Office. I just got a question. There's a lot of anxiety among the workforce about this virus going around. I know we're telling people to stay home if they're sick, but I don't get a lot of direction from the county leadership on what we should be saying or what we should be doing. For example, we have some employees that are very low on sick time because situations before. We're not sure if we can tell them to take sick time, even if they don't have it, should we? So, or plus, you know, public coming into the building, are we gonna do anything about that? I don't mean to sound paranoid, and I'm not paranoid, but is there some sort of communication system being developed or some sort of leadership taking charge of the situation so that, so if I have an employee that's maybe sick, I can say, you know, normally we wouldn't let you work from home, but given the situation for the next month or two, we'll set up a computer system so you can work from home. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to get any ideas, but I would just like to know if there's some sort of executive charge on how we're going to deal with this. So that's just my question.
Thank you for raising that. All three of us met, was that yesterday? When was that?
Monday.
At Emergency Command Center over at the county jail and also with our county health department. And there's a lot. They are working around the clock to make sure that we are in line with all the leadership at the state and federal level and having that come down at the county. I do, and one of the follow-ups from that meeting, which is in motion, is to have a communication to all county employees about some of the questions you're asking. And so I expect that is imminent.
Okay. Just one question that people are asking me is, it's kind of the policy, if you're sick more than 3 days, you need a doctor's note. I don't know if that's a relevant thing right now. If they're sick, I think we should err on the side of just stay home. I don't care if you need to go see a doctor. Just stay home. We'll deal with it. Or maybe we're free with time off without pay. You know, if you need to stay home, if you ran out of sick time, go ahead and stay home. We'll just make it very convenient for you to just take off time if you have to. So anyway, I'll wait for your direction.
Okay.
I'm just saying we're kind of anxious to get some.
I think it's legit, and we're not experts.
I know, and no,
and so,
neither am I.
And so we're looking to the experts to kind of help give us some guidance on this. And it's one in which I know everyone's got their eye on, and there's a lot of questions. I was talking with Ralph from HR and saying we better start at least understanding what this might look like if it starts coming this direction, what might happen. It's one that it's a tough one. It's tough one to work through.
It is.
And I would hope that the employees would know that we're not taking it lightly. We're taking it serious, but we're also trying to be reasonable with it and do things in a proper process manner. That will make sense, because we want their well-being. When I was talking with an employee that was very nervous, she's diabetic, so she was nervous about it, and I get it. I get that there's concerns.
And we have a lot of people in our office that are over 60. Everybody's saying, it's only people over 60. Well, I don't know if it's true or not. No one knows what to think right now. So I wouldn't want to put them at risk. So I just think it's really urgent. So however fast we can get this going, communication going, to be great, so that the departments know exactly what's reasonable to offer right now. And I know we want to rely a lot on department heads to make their decisions, but with it affecting the whole county, I don't think they can be autonomous about it. We kind of have to be similar about it. So thanks.
Okay, seeing no additional public comment, we'll move into our closed meetings.
Richard?
Okay, we're back. Final motion.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
That passes. We're adjourned.